Want to participate in a Don and Mike show contest? How about this? You or a member of your household can only win once for 60 days. You must comply with any age limitations for each contest. For complete contest rules, send a self-addressed stamp envelope to the mighty WJFK, P.O. Box 3649, Washington, D.C., 20007. Thank you, and God bless.
Everybody loves Don and Mike.
Let's get retarded in here.
Everybody, everybody, get into it. Get stupid. Get retarded. Get retarded.
Welcome, everybody, to the best of Don and Mike right here on the Westwood One Radio Network. I'm your host, Artinger, here, the legendary Joe Artinger. Glad to be back in studio with you to play Best of Don and Mike. Now, don't be worried. Don and Mike get back next Monday, and the mayhem and the fun and the hilarity shall ensue. Until then, I'm glad to be spending these afternoons with ye. How was your holiday? Hey, how was your holidays anyway? Give me a call as if I care. No. Anyway, I am glad to be back. I hope you're glad to be back. And next week, Don and Mike will be glad to be back. So, let's get into the best of Don and Mike. Once upon a time, Don and Mike went to Las Vegas. Viva Las Vegas. It's a recap of that trip. But best of Don and Mike on the Westwood One Radio Network.
What a weekend.
Mm-hmm.
What a weekend.
Indeed.
We had...
I don't think we can... Well, I know I can't do that very often. Or I'll die.
I don't think you... I
still feel bad.
No man can.
I didn't think you could do it this weekend.
I did it.
I want to say that I know that I
don't remember a lot.
I bust Mike's balls, and I will today, but I do want to say this, and I mean this. Internally,
mm-hmm.
when this man sets his mind on doing something like partying for 72 hours,
mm-hmm.
let me say, the strength... of 1,000 men.
Well, you maybe when it was happening, but certainly not after the fact. I was lucky to get on that plane yesterday.
Wow.
I noticed.
Seriously. I mean, I was not. And I woke up this morning. I'm still not feeling well.
Oh,
you're
dear.
Not Mickey Blue Eyes.
I could have done that when I was 25. I
Mikey
can't
Red
that.
Eyes.
Mikey Red, yeah. That's all I did yesterday. We were waiting to get on the airplane. Mm. Right before we got our cab, I said, Look at my eyes.
Look at my eyes.
Look into my eyes. And everybody really uniformly had one reaction. It was like,
oh,
it
God.
It wasn't even so much that. You said, I said, good morning, how are you? Because you were outside before us.
Mm-hmm.
And you pulled your glasses down on your nose, and it looked like they were very heavy.
Yes.
And you pulled them very slowly down, and what mm-hmm. we saw was crimson.
And for you regular listeners of the Don and Mike Show, this is going to be one of those great times. It's happened to me. It's happened to Mike. There are parts of the weekend reenactment
mm-hmm.
that sadly Mike doesn't remember.
Yes. Yeah, I'm not.
There were things that happened.
There were things that were said of me that I had no knowledge of.
But I have witnesses.
Yeah, well, no, I know you do. Believe me, I know you do.
And what a weekend we had.
How about that fight, huh? Who won?
Okay. Yeah. Mike, see, I'm not going to start there.
Okay, all right.
I'm not, well, come on, let's do it in context.
You're controlling that.
Let's follow the... Well, see, if I talk...
I know that I started out before you guys.
If I started... if I talked just about the fight,
mm-hmm.
well, that's where we had our fight.
Yes, yeah, and I didn't know that we'd had a fight until the next day. Which,
wow.
Which is always real bad,
yeah.
You know?
Do you remember?
I said a big happy to die. I said, hey, you left? Why'd you leave?
That's because of you. Well,
yeah.
I said, don't you remember like punching me in the arms 8 times? And if you think, stop it, stop it.
Apparently, I was quite the annoying man.
Stop it.
Terminally annoying.
Listen, it started as a beautiful Las Vegas style weekend.
Sure did.
We did the show there and. Was a good show, we thought, with all the HBO people, and
yeah,
to thank them.
Yeah, by that loudmouth that was next to us, it turned out to be a very good show.
Yeah, we wanted to thank all the people at HBO. We go out to dinner on Friday night after the show,
mm-hmm.
and as it turns out, we go to, here's a shock, the Palm Restaurant.
And thanks to Frankie Storioni.
Yeah. Frankie
was great.
Frankie,
our waiter.
The Palm. Frankie was our waiter. And he was trying to give us his best material all night, and if you're listening right now, Frank... Love you. We're going to be back out in April for my brother's wedding. We'll come there.
Yes.
However, here is the moment when Frank lost me, our waiter at the Palm, mm-hmm. in Las Vegas on Friday night. He's coming by the table, and he's got one-liners, and I mean, he's dropping names.
We're a very good audience, too, and we're normally not a good audience, but we were.
We laughed and laughed.
You know, we're coming off the high of doing the show.
Mm-hmm. In Vegas, baby.
And went right to the place and started just drinking, and when he came by and he said, "You see that girl over there? You know what it says on her shirt? It says guess." So I said, implants?
Yeah.
That
was the fourth joke that
was down to the B material.
We all determined, okay, that's enough with the jokes. Let us eat, please.
But he did. Oh, there they are. Hi, guys.
Yeah.
But he did give us a clue as to our very first true celebrity that we saw.
He did.
At one point, our waiter, Frank, came over to the table and said, "Fellas, you're no longer the most important people in the restaurant."
Yes.
"Sitting right up there. Are you familiar with Mr. Dennis Miller?"
Dennis Miller's having dinner with the whole family.
So we,
What did we look like, mooks?
No, I thought we were very cool.
Smooth, very smooth.
You know, we didn't approach him. We didn't speak to him.
Well, at one point, he said, "You got to see this woman. You got to check out this woman." So I said, "All right, I'll walk up to the front, and then I'll walk back."
And what I didn't realize is that we all did that.
Yeah, we followed.
There was like a parade of us all walking.
Well, I thought we were going to see, you got a different message. I thought we were going to look at Dennis Miller.
I didn't until I got up to the front and I see you in back of me. I thought you and I were walking up to the front. Then I see Rob, then I see Buzz, right, and we're making a parade. And then I realize I'm standing next to Dennis Miller.
Right.
And we all were standing around his table just looking.
Well, now, part
and
of it
we is, looked. We looked like guys that were going up to look at Dennis Miller.
But here's the thing: they had. I'll say in our defense, they had Dennis Miller at a table as you walk into the restaurant.
They had him at the A table.
I mean,
I have to wonder if that was part of his deal, because I think he's performing at Caesar's, right?
He was
right.
half in the shopping mall area almost, yeah, and
right
half
at
in the restaurant.
Right at the
so
door.
So it's like you would walk by and go, "Oh, is that Dennis Miller?" Oh, that and immediately
you couldn't miss him if you came into that restaurant. You would not miss Dennis Miller.
But it was a great cover because no one thought we were looking at the girl.
Mm-hmm. You know, and I immediately
and the girl really was, you know, Frankie, overrated Frankie. I mean, yeah. I'm just, you know, I got to be honest with you.
I meanwhile just stood there staring at Dennis Miller.
You did. You were staring.
Because
at him.
You know, it's one of those things. I don't want to say I'm starstruck because I'm not necessarily a fan of the direction his career is taking now.
Yeah, right.
I mean, but you know, back in the day, his books made me laugh out loud. His
sure
HBO
did.
Show made yep. me laugh out loud. And I wanted to at least say hello, but then I thought, no, I can't. He's there with his wife. And then I found myself looking at his wife and thinking, well, at least there's one good thing about Dennis Miller. Here's a guy who's not traded his wife in for, you know, a 14-year-old. And, man, are there old dudes with young girls? Buzz, that guy yesterday.
Yes, you see a lot of that in Vegas, and I saw it too.
There was a guy yesterday when Buzz and I were waiting for you guys. We were down in the lobby.
Right.
This guy had absolutely gray hair, and it was in an army flat cut, and he had an old man outfit on. I mean, you know what I mean?
He
had the jive golf shirt. He had
the high-waisted pants.
Yeah, the high-waisted
pants. Was he wearing a cabana outfit?
No, but it was close.
Right.
And we were noticing the extraordinary bosom of the woman. And Buzz said, "I think that's fake." And I said, "I don't, you know, do you think that she's the original one? Maybe she had the work done." And then as she turned around, it became apparent that it was like Anna Nicole Smith and that guy that he married. She married him.
I mean, was that really? It was this, like a doddering old man?
Yes. This was an old man. Like, if Imus was 200 pounds heavier with a butch haircut, that's what this guy was.
Wow.
And he had a very young thingy with him. Attractive. Who had these big balloons under her.
A PYT?
Yes, a pretty young thing.
A lot of silicone in the desert.
So anyway, I'm looking at Dennis Miller, and I'm saying, well, this got to be his original wife. You know, she's a very handsome woman. Looks like she's got some miles on her. And look at this. They're doing this like a regular family that they've got.
They had a big family.
Like,
lots of kids.
Not that it counted, but I think three boys and a girl. Maybe I had that wrong.
It's like a nanny was with him too, you know.
Yeah, but you know, Daddy's going to Las Vegas to do his dirty show, and
he's got the whole family in tow, and they're running around the mall, I guess.
Right. Bring the kids, and
do you think he was a little paranoid when? Well, we went back to our table after we stared at Dennis Miller for a couple of minutes, and then do you think he was real paranoid when we left at the exact same time he did,
yeah,
and literally walked out with his family group, like in between him and his wife?
That was our classic boner. That was our big mistake because we had gotten up. Now, you got up to look at the girl. I'll give you a pass on that.
Yes, I did.
I didn't. I got up.
I didn't even know Dennis Miller was at this part of the restaurant.
Because, Frank, the restaurant guy, the waiter, had just said, "And Dennis Miller's sitting right up there."
Right.
So you got up, and I thought, well, hell, I want to see Dennis.
And then I think Rob said, well, he got up, and I'm going to go, and then Buzz said, well, I'm not going to be left out of this. And then I looked around, and we were the Mook Parade.
We all get there. And,
we were cool, though. Very smooth.
Not me. I was the worst. I got to be like Dennis Miller's nightmare.
We just,
I'm just looking at him.
When you get to
it. And it's not even like I'm looking at you know what I mean?
Yeah, I know.
A real, big star.
Right. I mean, it's Dennis Miller.
Well, he's a big enough star, but we were standing, and we were in such a position that we couldn't go anywhere, and then people were moving around. It was all we were doing was just four guys standing right next to Dennis Miller's table.
And I mean right next to his table, because he was sitting very very near to the area where they greet you in, mm-hmm. the restaurant, where the maitre d' says, you know, do you have
maitre
a
d'.
And as we were standing there looking at Dennis Miller and his family, people would come up and go like, Smith, reservation for four, and we'd have to move out of the way and move closer to Dennis Miller's table.
Yeah. And he was aware of us. He was aware that we were staring.
I only made eye contact one time with
I was thinking you were going to say something, but you pulled off of that.
And I'll tell you exactly why I pulled off, because I was thinking, you know, I'd had a glass of courage at that point.
Right.
And I thought, boy, I really like Dennis Miller, and man, is he funny, and, you know, I would love to. And then I was realized that of all of the four of us, I was staring the most, just like standing there, jaw open, staring. And I caught his glance, and I tried to throw him the glance that said, don't be scared of me. I'm a fan, but I'm not a nutty fan. And he gave me back, and I know the look because I've given it. He gave me back the look that said, F you.
Yeah.
He gave me back the look that just said,
don't even think about it.
Hal, are you looking at me?
I think the mistake was when you licked your lip. That might have been when you crossed the line.
He had looked at it longingly.
There was, and it was maybe, really, if I run a stopwatch here, 1 second. 2 seconds. That's all it was.
Mm-hmm.
Our eyes met that long. And I got to think, I looked into these big puppy dog eyes like, oh. And he looked at me saying, and I know what he was saying. You have been staring at my family eating our food for 2 minutes. If you come over and even attempt to speak to me,
I'll kill you.
Yeah, I'll kill your family.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that was it for me. That was the highlight of Friday.
Yeah, it was
seeing
fun.
Dennis Miller.
Yeah, it was good. It was good fun. We all walked out with him. In between, really, literally, I swear to God, I didn't try this, but I was leaving, and he was leaving, and I wanted to go, and he wanted to go, and I ended up, like, right in back of his wife, and he was in back of me, right?
I know, and that's...
And weren't you in back of him, or
yeah,
something like that?
Yeah, and that's when he turned around and gave me another one of these looks like...
What are you doing?
And again, nothing was said.
Right.
It was just, we left the restaurant, he left the restaurant, you can go right, or you can go left.
Right.
We had to go left, I guess he had to go left, but yeah, it was like his entourage and us, and at one point he did turn around and just gave me the look like... Now, he didn't stop walking.
Stalking me.
You know, what he did, he did not stop walking. He just kept walking and looked like...
Right.
Gave me a look that said, dude.
You know. Dude, enough. Okay. I know you see me. I know you
know
who I am.
Because I know what's coming up. I know that if he comes towards me, it's going to be like... And you are John Hinckley? Hi, I'm Dennis Miller. I saw you following me out of the restaurant.
We didn't mean to do that. We finished our meal, paid our check, and we left. It was just that timing.
Wouldn't it be great if the topic on his show on CNBC this week turned out to be like celebrity stalkers?
Sure.
And we are there with these guys.
These four guys in a restaurant. My God.
Four big dopey guys, all of them.
I don't want to get off on a rant here, but let me tell you about four guys, four mooks in a restaurant.
Wearing sport coats. So that's Friday, and then after that, I don't remember. I mean, I went to sleep.
I think we all made an early night on Friday.
Mm-hmm. We're retired.
Now, here's...
It's been a long day.
Point number one that I have with my best buddy, Mike,
mm-hmm.
that we're out there. We've done the show on Friday night. We've gone out. We've had dinner. We've had a good time. We're going to get back and try to get some sleep, try to get back some of the hours, you know, and make Saturday the best day we can.
Right.
I got a call from Mike. I went to bed, I guess... Las Vegas time, like 9:30, 10 o'clock.
Yeah.
So it's 1 o'clock in the morning when I'm going to bed.
Yeah, I'd turn in about 1:30.
Well,
1:30 our time.
Right.
I get a call. I don't know. I think it was 5 a.m. Las Vegas time.
Yep, because it was about 8 o'clock our time. At the time when I was certain that you would have been up. I'm not familiar enough with your schedule to know that you get up very, very early on the weekdays. And, you know, for you... You know, I guess you were sleeping in.
Well, no,
on
I was just tired. I get up.
I said, you know, because I remember what you say on the show that you get up at like at 6 o'clock, and I'm like, I was chomping to tell Don what had happened to me, that I'd done real well in the casino, and I was chomping to call you and tell you, and I figured 8 o'clock was, I'd been up for an hour, and I figured that was a lock, that, you know, if I was up for an hour, you were definitely up.
Now, I gotta sleep sometimes, I pick up the phone and go, hello?
Oh, you know when you call somebody, and it's really, the phone's like,
hello.
And he goes, I'm like, immediately I know. You know yeah. you're waking somebody up.
He goes, hey!
Actually, it starts bad, like, if you get to, like, the third or fourth ring, and right. That's when you realize, oh, no.
Yes, I didn't give you a hey. I gave you an immediate, I'm sorry I woke you up.
No, that's what you said. And I said, hey, no problem.
But I still had to give you my information, which at this point, you couldn't have cared less because you just wanted to get back to sleep. But then I heard that you stayed up after that, right?
Yeah, well, it was, you know,
I've ruined it.
No, here was the conversation. The conversation was, oh, I woke, yeah, you're absolutely right. I woke you up. I said, hey, no problem. What's going on?
It was basically really, I mean, after dinner on Friday night, it was a weekend of me apologizing.
And I, you know, I don't
really
know.
All it was.
I don't know what's going on. You know, so I go, well, what's happening? I says, I hit a jackpot. I hit a really big jackpot.
Right.
I said,
it's the second one in like 2 months.
I said, that's great. He said, I thought you would be awake.
Yep.
And I said, no. And then when I...
This will cheer you up. I gave it all back.
Then when I hung the phone up, it was that deal where I was awake anyway. But this is where Mike has... And later,
they get it all.
Later, I'm sure I'll amend this statement when we talk about that as the weekend progressed. But at this point, again, I'm thinking... Now, Mike went 100 miles an hour on Friday night, just got off the wagon on Thursday night, rode the wagon hard Thursday night, rode it pretty hard Friday night. I was thinking either he was pulling an all-nighter when you called me to tell me of your winnings, or perhaps you had managed, you know, for you, a very long nap, 2 or 3 hours.
No, I actually, because I wouldn't have survived.
You had an early girly golf day. Right?
I had an 8, well, I had an 11:30 tee time. I moved it to 9:10, and then I got there at like 8:15, and I moved it to 8:30. So I played golf really, really early. And that's all, believe it or not, that's what I was looking forward to more than anything on our trip to Las Vegas. It was 81 degrees, and I was excited about that. So I was really, the reason I went to bed at about 1:30, and the reason I was up and perky and energized was pure golf. That's it.
Ah.
That's that early season golf rush where you want to get out there. And so,
and you won your jackpot.
And I won my jackpot, and I want, you know, because we do kind of, I think I called you, or we talked to each other the last time that happened to me long distance,
right,
when I was in Atlantic City.
Right.
And I, you know, we like to share each other's little windfalls.
Sure.
Right.
No, anyway, this was nothing that I got pissed out at Mike about it in the least.
No.
It was, no. It was just, he called, he was happy, I was awake.
I think it was something like, that's great, Charlie. Okay. I said, hey, I'm sorry, I'll leave. And then you didn't get any satisfaction out of, you know, normally it would be something where I tell you about the jackpot and I, you know, say, oh, really? And what machine? Oh, I did this. And then I give you the, you know, because I was really pumped to tell the whole story. And, but instead I had to, provide you with one of what would be a series of apologies all weekend.
But that one was not even necessary. That was, you know, that one.
Not compared to the other ones.
You take that one back.
Right.
So then, Mike's out playing golf. And I've said to it's now Saturday.
Right.
I've said to Buzz and to Robbie, you know, I got a call from Mike very early. He hit a jackpot. Do you think he went out to play golf? Do you think so? We don't know where you are.
Right. Okay.
And at this point, I'm out on the they got the like a beach area up on top of the hotel.
Wonderful.
And incredibly jam packed. I mean, for every 5 people at Mandalay Bay, there's 1 chair.
And it's a fight weekend, and so the hotel, and it's a strange property because there are 3 hotels really, and you can confuse the if you say I want to go to Mandalay Bay, they say which hotel?
Mm-hmm. So
the hotel. Well, there is a place called the hotel.
Yeah, it gets very confusing.
I get down by this area where there's a wave pool.
Right.
And it's
kind of cool, kind of neat.
Very it's nice. Very early. It's like 10:30 in the morning, yet it's jam packed with people. So I get my chair and the beach police come by and say, you can't have your chair on the cement. Your chair has to be on the beach. Now,
the sand.
There's no room on the sand because it's full of people.
Mm-hmm.
Well, this is where I made the acquaintance of Tim G.
From Peoria.
From Peoria, Illinois. He said, hey, dude, if I move my chair and get everybody else to move their chair, we can get your chair up here. Mm-hmm.
Noted sun worshiper Tim G.
Oh, my God.
So,
like he lives in the
Tim,
sun.
Right?
Tim.
Yeah.
Tim G.
Right.
So, oh, and celebrity he most resembles? Oh, tough call.
Easy for me. Kind of a kind of like that guy from CSI, William Peterson.
Yeah, skinnier.
A skinnier brother.
Yeah, but you know what's good? Curly hair, a permed, curly hair, gray on top, and obviously the dyed black beard.
Yes.
Yeah, which was a little unkempt.
And he's, you know, and he's one of these guys, he's really oiled up, and the guy looks like he's out there all the time because he's got that tan.
Well, from what he said to me, he is out there all the time.
Yeah, every other week.
That's what he does.
The guy, what he does is he allows me to move my chair, and much to the chagrin of the other people who were already camped out there.
I was truly amazed at the competition for the chaise lounge.
Oh, I know. This is nothing that is new at any hotel or resort. This is, you know, you want
to. Actually the one thing I did all weekend that was decent, right? Is giving up my chaise lounge for the lady.
Yes.
Right?
That was right.
So that's the only thing I did.
No, you didn't. No, maybe it was.
That can't be right.
So anyway, we're down there. We're having I get this guy to let me move my chair into the space. So now I'm talking to everybody, to all of these people that I don't know, but I think I've inconvenienced. They moved their chairs 6 inches. Mm-hmm. Blah, blah. Order a drink. Start talking to the guy. Next thing you know, well, here comes Buzz.
Mm-hmm.
And then here comes Rob. And and seats start opening up.
Right.
And again, it's this guy, Tim G, the guy from Peoria, who is saying, I've been here all day, and there's a seat back there that hasn't been used for over 2 hours.
Where was Seth Greenberg sitting?
I'll get to that.
I know you will.
Good.
You know, that worked, loud. However.
Yes, it did.
It worked.
It technically, it took a while, but surprised us. Yeah.
So
that was great.
Well, we got to. I'll skip to the chase on that because we got a lot of stuff. We have issues with Tim G, mm-hmm. and also issues with the guy on the Rascal that I want to get to. But at one point, all we wanted was a sandwich. This place is incredibly crowded,
so packed, and you know, fine property, fine hotel.
Yes,
but really, I believe Mandalay, you know, I think they were maybe counting on 10 people coming to the beach that day.
I don't know. They
I really
prepared.
Think they had a warm snap. It's not normally that warm.
No, it was in the 80s, normal temperatures in the 70s, and it was simply beautiful. So we wanted to get something to eat. We'd been out there for like 3 hours. Buzz and I had drinking.
Right.
Buzz drinking is rum and
pineapple juice.
I'm having my vodka and tonic, and we're getting, you know, nice and happy in the hot sun and going in the water. We thought, well, Mike's here, let's go get something to eat. So, because I don't know, Rob, are you here for that, or had you left?
No, Rob left.
Yeah. Rob and I are gone.
We came in, we did our live shot on JFK.
All right.
And then,
yeah, we called the wedding
table.
Show and on the weekend.
Right, this
program.
Is out of order. So
off to the tables to give some of it back.
And just get to the restaurant part. They got a restaurant, an outdoor thing, by this beach and pool area, this hotel, Mandalay Bay. And they got a line up front that's got people lined up like they're going to get on a Disneyland ride.
Good thing.
And they got a big sign that says 45-minute wait. You got to check yourself in. Meanwhile, if you go around to the back of the place, there's 5 tables that are open.
Yeah, there's wide open, including one that's just right on the edge of the beach. And we're like, yeah, let's just park it
where
here.
We came from.
So we sit down, and I hearkened over to Jen, our waitress.
Mm-hmm.
But it turns out it wasn't Jennifer because they all look the same. They all have implants, and they all are cute girls with
right.
those yellow bathing suits. And she came over and took our drink order, and we said we'd be at this table. And then a guy came over.
A very meek guy. A very shell-shot, scared young lad who maybe was a little over his head as far as doing the job, which appeared to be the table spotter or scout.
Yeah.
He didn't seem to be a waiter.
No, the guy came over and he said, excuse me, did you guys sign up front?
Did you check in with the hostess?
And this is when I started my junk with her, with this guy. I said, yeah, we did. I talked to Jennifer, our waitress, an hour ago. And the guy said, well, you're not on the list up front. There's people out there that are waiting. And we said,
we checked in. I don't understand what the problem is.
The guy says, well, okay, I guess you're okay. As long as nobody comes, I'll go get your menus. So we think, we got it made.
Yeah. He comes back with a menu that looked like, you know, he had it folded up in his wallet.
It was
his tiny little, that's all he had.
Right.
You know,
they didn't have any menus because they were
like,
so swamped.
It's like a pop-up book to Dan Snyder. This thing is so tiny. Really, you could put it in your wallet, this thing that the guy brings.
Yeah, it's that small.
And as, as we're looking at it, you know, we're looking at the tiny writing, we're thinking what we want to have, he leaves.
In the meantime, he said, well, you know, we were waiting and said, well, you're supposed to be on the wait list with the hostess. And I said, Buzz, just give him a 20. Mm-hmm. Give him a 20. So, I can't take this. You'd have to see the hostess.
And then Mike,
she doesn't come out here.
Mike,
you know, like, okay.
Mike said, this is Vegas. And that's exactly how he said to the guy. He said, this is Vegas. This is Vegas. Everybody takes money. Give him 20. And the guy's, I can't take that. I can't. So then now here we go.
The hostess doesn't apparently leave the hostess stand unless she's going to check on people that are sitting in the seats that aren't supposed to be.
Right. Hey, believe
we got a visit from her later on.
Yeah, she was tougher.
Our hostess's name was... the cream
Margaret Cho.
No, I'm trying to think of a hostess product. If she wasn't a Twinkie, she wasn't a Ding Dong, she wasn't a cupcake. Snowball.
Captain Cupcake.
Anyway, the hostess comes over and she's big formidable woman. Looks to be like maybe Polynesian. And didn't she have that?
Yes, she did.
Perhaps a wrestler.
You're spot on with that.
She comes by and she says, "What are you guys doing here?"
Right.
And I said, I talked to Jennifer. Of course, I'm just talking out of my rear. I said, I talked to Jennifer. We got a reservation.
Now, he's using Jennifer, who is legitimately his waitress, who's the beach waitress. Mm-hmm. You know, they've got all these little rules about, well, I can't. And so Jennifer did come by, and we ordered drinks from her.
Yeah.
But Jennifer can't serve us at the table.
Yeah, Jennifer.
She has to serve us.
We had to walk to the perimeter to pick up our drinks.
She said, I can bring you drinks, but you'll have to walk the 3 feet to get off the concrete to come on the beach.
We said, no problem. And then you use Jennifer as our reference point that she was the one who said we could sit here. You know, we kind of threw Jennifer under the bus. I hope she didn't get in.
Well, as it turns out, there was a shift change and Jennifer wasn't there anymore.
Right,
there was
right.
some other girl. So this waitress says to me, well, listen, regardless, you guys got to move. You have to go by the hostess. And I said, I'm sitting right down here on the beach.
We've been waiting an hour.
We've been waiting 5 minutes.
We walked up and sat down.
I said, we wait an hour. The table is free. I said, I tell you what. Why don't you call Seth Greenberg right now?
At this point, I have to
with HBO.
Because as soon as he says, he pulls this name out of thin air, this fictitious name of Seth Greenberg HBO.
I bet there is a Seth Greenberg. It's something like that. There's somebody named Seth. I know that I've heard of this guy at HBO.
You're very forceful with her about it. Listen, Seth Greenberg, what's your name?
The
only thing that was missing is you taking out the little notepad.
Honey, darling.
And her name was Lana, or it was like a Hawaiian-type name.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And I said, okay, Loy, or what do you Loy.
Kaylani Hassel.
I'm going to go talk to Seth Greenberg at HBO, putting on the fight this weekend.
Seth Greenberg.
And let him know that we've been waiting. I've been sitting here paying $20 a drink for 2 hours. You got a table that's open. No problem. I got your name. Remember the name, Seth Greenberg, HBO.
You'll be hearing.
So she walks away and doesn't seem to want to have anything to do.
So we
and
get,
we're, you know, Don's looking kind of satisfied, like maybe this worked until I see in the distance security.
Yeah, here they come.
Security lady coming. Security. This is now our fourth individual that we've had contact with, you know, around this this issue of getting, you know, all we want
so
to
now
do
the,
is sit down and have a drink.
Now right. The security is, hey, you got a reservation? I said, listen, we did. Seth Greenberg, HBO, you'll hear it. Listen, never mind.
Don't worry about it.
We're going to go back and sit down where we've been sitting and paying the $20 for the drink. Never mind. But don't forget, Seth Greenberg, HBO for all of you.
We're laughing because Seth Greenberg, of course, is a fictitious character,
and
we think it didn't really work. That maybe this is because we leave the table.
But I stayed with it to the very end.
You did. I was already down at the beach, and I see you back having this lady. You know, you quoting Seth. Seth would not be happy about it.
So I come back and we go back. We sit in our chairs, and everybody's being very upbeat and say, well, you gave it a good shot.
It was funny, you know, it's funny.
And we had fun.
We think that there's not a chance.
It's over.
Kaylani Hassel comes back over and says, you guys still want a table?
3 minutes later.
Minutes later. Obviously, they were concerned enough about your play acting
that
they decided to. Seth Greenberg was a real person.
They've still got 100 people that are waited for these tables. But she comes back, and then we had the pleasure. She goes, we've got your table, and we all just turned at the same time with it. Nah.
Okay.
Never mind.
No, thanks.
Let it go.
Nope, we're all set. Thanks. We're going to talk to Seth. Thank you.
Let it go. You're going to be hearing from my man, Seth Greenberg.
Seth Greenberg.
And we just did a Google search on him. Mikey marks his 14th season as head coach of the Virginia Tech fighting whatever they are basketball team.
Wow.
That's who Seth Greenberg is.
Yeah, well, there is a famous Seth Greenberg.
Sure. Well, he doesn't work for HBO.
No, he doesn't.
We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
And I got one more question. I'm a student of print journalism, and I just wanted to know, what advice do you have for young people coming up into the field? Like, a lot of professors are telling us how hard it is to get into the field at first. I'd just like to know, since you're in the field, do you have any advice on that? For instance, experience, is that important?
Uh-huh. Sure.
Is that probably the most important element?
Well, it's way up there.
It's way up there. Anything else? Anything you can do?
Pressure under fire.
Mm-hmm.
Done this before. I don't want it to be his first surgery.
Okay.
Applied himself well.
Mm-hmm.
These are things I'd have confidence in a young MD.
Okay. I'm talking about journalism field.
I'm lost. What do you mean?
The journalism. Like, I'm a student of journalism at a college, and I was just wondering the most important aspect of getting into journalism, not the medical field. I think you're exhausted from 30 nights.
I am exhausted from 30 nights. No person, even those of us who are superhuman, those of us with Herculean appetites for the diverse and the bizarre, even those of us who have shown an aptitude to fight the good fight and stay the good long battle, even those of us can get tired. And your boy is tired after 30 consecutive nights. I have a half hour to go, and I'm going to do that half hour because I'm a pro. That's what pros do. I'm a professional. Look it up in the book.
Okay.
That's what we do. We're pros. We're never rude. We don't cop out. We don't tell you that we're ill or that we're looking for the farmhouse in the middle of the desert or that we're parched. We don't tell you that maybe the check didn't come through this month and where the hell does it go anyway if you're a guy who's left 16 forwarding addresses.
Okay.
So what do you do? What is the answer? Yeah, you're a little perturbed now. Kind of worried about the club.
The club?
Don't worry about the club. Worry about maybe Jackie might worry. Nah, don't worry. Okay, just cool it. Life is a breeze. Of course, some breezes, as you know, are 110 miles an hour and get promoted up to hurricanes. I passed that along. Speaking of pass it along, we're going to pass along now to the newsroom, the Mutual newsroom, high atop the overlooking downtown, beautiful downtown studios of Wallace, Virginia, Washington, D.C. The Mutual newsroom will get us up to date on the news headlines. We'll come back with a little more Open Phone America. We'll have our salute to my man Duke Zebert by taking him to one of his favorite places, one of mine too, the town of Cooperstown, New York. This is the Larry King Show in Washington, and we'll be right back.
The Don and Mike Show.
Like corn, enjoy it a second time. Second time. The best of Don and Mike.
And welcome back to the best of Don and Mike. Don and Mike back next Monday. Getting right back into the best of Don and Mike right now. And let's see, here's what it says. Recap, toe tickler and the buzz accident. Oh, I believe this is more Las Vegas stories. It's the best of Don and Mike on the Westwood One Radio Network.
We were on the beach.
Right.
Actually, not on the beach. It's on top of this hotel, Mandalay Bay, where they have a wave pool.
It's not on top. It's down on the bottom, right?
Yeah, you're right. It's outside. Not on the roof of the place.
Yeah, it's like in a little courtyard.
Yeah, area. Absolutely. My apologies on that. But they do have a sand area.
Yep.
And a wave pool. And
yeah, it's very cool.
You sit there and you get drunk and smoke cigars. It's a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm.
So this guy, Tim eased me in. Then, as Buzz came up, he eased him in. Mm-hmm. And then, as Rob came up, he eased Rob in. So, this guy was very nice getting people to move and getting these chairs.
Sure, he was.
So, I bought him a drink, and there was a guy who was right to the right of us, not actually in the lounging area because he was on a rascal.
Right.
And
I wasn't there when this happened.
Okay. The guy, as I'm talking with Tim, the guy's overhearing our conversations, and we're so close to him, he's like 5 feet away.
Right.
He starts having a conversation with him. The old guy, just sitting there on a rascal.
Like an older Paul Prudhomme.
Sure.
Wow.
Wow. Just sitting, just listening.
Uh-huh.
So as we're talking and we're going on and blah, 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 we find out that Tim works for Caterpillar in Peoria, Illinois.
Right.
That apparently he kills at selling tractors.
Right.
Because he goes to Las Vegas every other weekend.
Every other weekend. Has a very understanding wife, I believe, that lets him go to Vegas every other weekend.
All the time, telling me about all the money he gambles, that he has a great time, and I'm getting a little tanked myself, and I'm out in the hot sun with my friends, and I said, you know, Tim, as a matter of fact, I've got tickets. How would you like to go to an HBO party tonight? You've been so nice. And he said, I'd love to go to this party because HBO has this little shindig. So I said to Rob, if you get Tim's room number, we can have HBO send him a ticket.
Right.
And then the old guy on the Rascal says, hey, what about me?
How about me?
And I had just enough to drink. I was just starting my second.
Uh-huh.
In the bright hot sun, and
this
I turned
part
to him,
of the, this is the you that people don't get to see very often.
I turned to him and I said, "What am I, effing Santa Claus?" And I see the guy just goes,
yeah.
"Oh," he slumps in his rash. I go,
like he's disappointed.
Okay. All right, pops, we'll get you two tickets too to the HBO party. So he's happy and he motors away. And now it's just the four of us. It's me and Buzz and Rob, and we're drinking and talking with this guy, Tim, and for whatever reason, he reaches over, and I have witnesses to this, starts tickling my feet.
What?
Oiled up Tim with the understanding wife, who you bought a drink for.
Yes. Yeah. Now, I don't think he's a fag.
This is very
no, of course not. Why would he be?
Uh-huh. Do you think he was?
Well, look at the evidence. I don't know.
Okay, well, then I say this.
I didn't
hold on. I say this to you. Look at me. Am I what some oiled-up faggot wants in Atlantic City or Las Vegas? You go there and you decide that I'm the guy that you want?
Well,
I weigh 220 pounds.
You tickled no feet. That was the deciding factor.
Why did he tickle your feet?
I just said, hey, what's going on down there? Because we were sitting And thank God at least that toe fungus thing is under control, that I can now go out and not feel like
it. Well, that's what it is. Tim was attracted to your very nice dog.
You're still so weird about your feet. He probably would have gotten less of a reaction if he had dumped ice water on you. You really recoiled and your knees came up to your chest and it was,
Did he explain why he was tickling your feet?
No. No, he never did.
You were just afraid to ask.
He just giggled.
And he never smelled his fingers afterward.
He just giggled.
You know what he did? He just sort of demurred and smiled.
I rest my case.
Said, don't tickle my feet. And again, the sheepish smile.
Okay.
My wife understands.
Yeah, so here's this guy that we've struck up this friendship with.
Yes.
I'll loosely call it a friendship.
Tickling your feet.
And listen, again, even though I don't have the toenail fungus anymore, still my feet look like Fred Flintstone's feet.
Right.
And Buzz, I got news for you. Yeah. I spent some time checking yours out.
I know.
Welcome to the Bedrock Club.
Hi, yes.
You know, Buzz has also done the best he can, but
Buzz has got some ugly feet, too?
No, he's
one bad toe in particular. Yeah.
Really got a fungus toe thing?
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's not enough that you'd notice it unless you're just sitting there like I was with Buzz for hours.
Staring.
Just staring at his feet.
Inspired by Tim.
Now, I don't know how this guy Tim ended up, you know, really tickling my feet.
Well, it's disturbing.
As a follow-up, I will tell you that the next morning, Sunday morning, and I was up very early out getting some sun with Buzz.
Hi.
Before Buzz arrived, Tim came by, again, this is 9 o'clock in the morning the next morning, and I've already got my spot picked out. We got a couple hours before the plane.
Right.
So I'm going to get some sun, and I see him coming through the doors. It's 9 o'clock. The pool area is just opening, and I go, and I get the newspapers up, and I put the papers up, and I hear, hey, and he's on the other side of the pool. And I go, hi, Tim. He goes, great party. Missed you last night, and I was so flipped out. I said, how you doing? He said, come on over here. I said, I'll be there in an hour. He said, all right, I'll save you a place.
There you go.
Knowing I'm going to be up in my room in an hour changing my clothes.
Sure.
So that was the goodbye.
No more Tim after that.
The goodbye with Tim. So maybe you guys are right. Maybe he was a homo.
Mm-hmm.
Not
that there's anything wrong with that.
No, yeah. It's just the foot thing seemed to say a lot.
Man, maybe you gave him a vibe that said you were available.
Listen, I want to say something, Mike. I'm no homophobe. We kid about everybody on the show.
I understand.
But I give out a vibe like I gave to that soccer mom on the plane.
Yes.
That's my vibe.
Pure heterosexual.
Yes, Absolutely.
That's right.
I'm attracted in the female form.
I don't think that you would give any clues that you were interested in Tim. And
no.
It sounded like this was a spontaneous gesture that nobody can really figure out. So we'll all... This is just something that'll go unanswered. Nobody will really understand what he was doing.
Mike, I'll cut him slack the same way I'll cut you slack. Maybe he'd had one too many.
Well, I appreciate you doing that, and since you're going to do that for me, do it for him too. Why not? Was he imbibing quite a bit?
Oh, he had been, he was drunk. I thought when we sat down.
Well, then that might be what it was.
Let's see. As good as your blanket statement.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and I have to mention something else. I told Buzz I would rat him out on this.
Right.
Now we got to be careful how we say this with the new standards and everything.
Right.
However. For the first time ever in his adult life as a man, mm-hmm. in Las Vegas, mm-hmm. Buzz had an accident.
I did. Let me preface this by saying, you know, we'd had a short night the night before. We had a very long day. I'd gone like 9 hours without food, and then we ate this super rich meal, the one at the Palm with Dennis Miller and Frankie
right.
the waiter.
Yeah, it was super rich.
And a little something to drink, and then, you know, I'm tired, I'm feeling a little funny, I head back to the room.
Oh, hold on a second. I gotta say something. Rob is so creepy. Rob remembers the guy's last name. We've just been using an initial.
Yeah.
Right. Rob has Google searched him and found him.
Oh, dear. That's him?
Two possibilities. Click on one of them. Or why don't you just call up? Well, no, I bet he'd still be in Las Vegas.
I don't know. I think he would be if he was just there for the fight.
Call him up and see if he'll come on the air and answer why he tickled my feet.
Very good.
If, in fact, it's the same guy. So, Buzz had an accident.
Yeah.
Like a little squirt.
A little accident when I get back to my room.
Do I have to be careful with that?
We do.
No, here's why you have to be careful.
Yeah.
Because this is one of the times, Saturday night at dinner.
Yeah.
You don't remember this, do you?
Saturday night at dinner when the
telling of the story?
When we recounted the story.
No, I don't.
You don't
not even...
And that was like 7 o'clock.
Yeah.
You don't remember Buzz telling that story at the table?
No, I don't remember that. I was eating my my fancy appetizer.
Anyway, Buzz didn't throw the garment away.
I see.
And it was lucky you were wearing
garment. Yes.
Pants.
Right.
Yeah.
So you didn't successfully make it to the room or something.
Oh, I made it all the way to the room, and I thought it was one thing, and it turned out to be something else.
Like it always
yes,
is.
Yes, all right. Now it's happened to all of us. Right?
And I said to Buzz, welcome to the club.
Yeah.
And I did have to ask, well, did you toss them?
You know, I do give myself a slight pass at that early hour. I think I may have remembered some of this story, but I think I also wasn't really listening.
It was a good story, though.
I was kind of distracted, you know, just distracted in my own mind.
What, with the wine angels?
Yes. Requesting the wine angels. Which, really, that was kind of a disappointment, wasn't it?
Well, that's for the next segment.
Yes, of course.
But Buzz suffered the humiliation of incontinence.
The little impromptu laundry there in my room.
Yeah, and that's the only thing that I questioned when I had the discussion originally with Buzz.
Right.
Man, I just, you know, certainly
to
not
discard
your,
or to clean.
Yeah, to discard, and don't even discard in your room.
Yeah.
Go, like, put it in a bag, bring it down to the lobby. And
bring it to the dumpster.
Discard it there.
No. Go down into the belly of the hotel there where we were broadcasting, find a dumpster, and hide the evidence.
But you washed them.
Or the ice machine.
because these were so new and so nice. This was a first time wearing, and because of what I've been through medically, I figured I could handle that.
So
I did the laundry.
Anyway, welcome to the club.
Thank you.
No answer at either number, but I will try later.
Very good.
Try and track this fellow down.
Oh, and before we get off the beach, we'll have to do this in our next break. We did have a bit of tomfoolery and hijinks because Mike joined us then after Mike got done playing golf.
Yes, came by and stopped by to see if you guys were there, and then actually went up, got on my bathing suit, and came down to the beach.
So now it was all four of us down there.
Right.
Did you leave then, Buzz?
No, I think
Rob
left. Still with you.
No, but this would have to be when we called the radio show.
Oh, no, okay. I missed that.
Yeah, you weren't there.
Call.
You hadn't arrived yet.
Yeah.
Okay, so... Now it's Mike and Rob and I sitting on the beach, and Rob does this infomercial show on the weekend called The Wedding Show.
Yes.
Right? Because Rob's middle name is Make It Out to Cash. And we're on the beach, and Rob is going to call it. And again, we're not on the beach. We're at this little area by the pool where they've got
a fake
sand.
Beach. It's a fake beach.
It's a faux beach.
It's a faux beach.
It's
but we didn't work non-bleu.
A non-bleu faux beach.
Right.
Anyway, it's the wedding show.
The wedding show. On WJFK.
Right. So Rob does this thing, but he's not doing it this week because he's in Las Vegas. So he's going to make a call-in And anyway, Mike.
Because he's a trooper that way. Did they pay you for that call in, Rob?
No. I'll get him in the end.
Anyway, Mike and I were on the phone with Rob, and that made the air. We'll have that, and hold on. We're not even moved into the real meat of this issue.
Oh, no.
The real great part of this evening.
What part was that?
Mike, now I don't know if you can see.
I can.
Bruises.
Can you see?
Oh my!
I mean,
God.
I'm not kidding you. Can you see?
I thought it was a friendly tap.
It was like eight. I counted.
That's what Rob said.
Eight times. It started like.
Oh my! It's like, come on.
It started like this. What do you think of this?
Yeah, that's what they do.
Come on. What do you think of this guy? Then it was, hey, what do you think of this guy? Anyway, that's still to come. You've bruised me.
Well, I look forward to hearing about
like
how I did it.
Like a banana.
Sorry about that. You delicate flesh.
I'm sorry. Yeah.
My big meat cleaver. Pounding, pummeling away that delicate flesh.
All you actually had to do just tap me with a pencil.
And you bleed.
I would just bleed a thousand vats of blood. Time out. More on our trip from Vegas coming up next.
Stay tuned. This is the Don and Mike Show.
With an estimated completion date of January 1995.
The plan, if I may, was to complete Hank's Look Around Cafe on August 23rd, this year. That's right, my birthday. Can't move my birthday back. What else does my jackass business manager have to say?
Mr. Kingsley, restaurants rotate when they are at the top of buildings. Your place is at street level. There is no view.
He does not get it. You see, the point is, it's not the view. The point is, when you eat at Hank's, you and your food are going on an adventure.
Maybe you should just forget the rotating floor and get the place going.
Forget the rotating floor. Come on, take a mess. Come on. Well, sir, thank you. But I am a visionary, so I'd like you to take your opinion and shove it right up your ass. Regards, Hank Kingsley. Pass that back to him.
But he's saying you don't have enough money to make it rotate.
Fine. Then I will get investors. Just so happens I am on a first-name basis with some of the most influential, some of the most powerful people in this business. So, get Chuck Woolery on the phone.
The Don and Mike Show.
Stay tuned for an outstanding entertainment program, The Best of Don and Mike.
Right, and welcome back to The Best of Don and Mike, everybody. I am your host, Artinger, here, the legendary Joe Artinger, with you on this Monday afternoon. And we're not going to waste any time. We're going to get right back into the best of, because this is one of the best ofs ever. As they recap their trip in Las Vegas, and I guess it's Rob A. and Don call the wedding show, and I think it features a little bit of Mike. It's the best of Don and Mike.
Mike, you were not around when, after we all went to the beach. Oh, the beach. Forgot. Calling the radio show.
Yeah, we called the radio show to be on Rob's weekend show called The Wedding Show.
Remind me, we have to talk about Buzz Gambling next.
Ah, yes, yes, I heard about this.
We took Buzz Gambling. Okay, so we're on the beach.
Right.
I've had at least two drinks.
Right.
I don't know how, you had a drink?
I was drink-free at this point.
Drink-free, and anyway, Rob calls in to do his info show, and here we go.
I apologize for Rob Spiewak not being here in studio. He's in Vegas.
That's right. I mean, he lives a life.
He seriously does live the life. This is Cameron Gray sitting in.
You know, people wonder why WJFK gets virtually no ratings on the weekend. You know, with this top-notch programming.
Sure.
And Rob, I know you want to.
It's a fine show, Don. And Rob, maybe you hear later, it gets great.
Here it is again.
I apologize for Rob Spiewak not being here in studio. He's in Vegas.
That's right. I mean, he lives a life.
He seriously does live the life. This is Cameron Gray sitting in for a Mr. Rob Spiewak, who's actually, I think he's going to call us.
Is he really?
Yeah, I think that might be him actually right now. Let's start the show with Rob out at Mandalay Bay in Vegas. Rob.
I'm staying at the Red Roof Inn.
The Red Roof. Nice.
I doubt it. I doubt that very seriously.
No, I'm kidding you, of course.
Okay.
I'm actually calling you from the Mandalay Bay Beach. I am poolside right now.
Oh, what a life. Someone put him in the water.
It's a hideous 84 degrees out here without a cloud in the sky. And you know how bad that is when you're fair-skinned.
Oh, it's so horrible. We miss you, Rob. Horrible. Thanks for calling.
I'd love to be there. You know, it's actually appropriate I should check in with the wedding show because I have just filed a formal separation agreement between me and all of my money.
Have you lost a lot of money? Have you been gambling?
Let's just say I've had a good time.
Okay, good.
And they're always eager. They love taking your money. Boy, does everyone smiles in Las Vegas. They see me coming and I think they picture like a...
We have to paint the picture. Rob is sitting there with his big Hawaiian shirt with his shirt open and just basking in the sun, making this phone call. Like he's the biggest celebrity in Vegas.
Big hairy stomach. Got his big gigantic movie star glasses. Did you have your straw hat on?
No hat. No hat.
But as he's doing this, he is totally captivating the 50 or 60 people that are sitting.
I got a view of this. People were really laughing.
And you think I didn't feed on that?
Yeah,
and you gentlemen as well?
Yeah, that's right. Okay, yeah, here we go. Back to the show.
Big lollipop. It's just a sucker.
Sucker. So you're going to be back for next week, though, right?
And so many good stories. And I know you're in good hands with Cameron. Cameron, I miss you.
I missed you, and I'm very jealous you're in Vegas, and I'm not.
I know. You know, somehow we should swap this out.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe next week you can go to Vegas, and I'll do this little wedding show thing.
Ooh, it's a deal.
Rob, I've got a question about Las Vegas.
Yes, I'm ready to entertain all questions about this fabulous city.
Is it true that they've just got strips of wedding chapels out there? Have you seen all those wedding chapels?
Yeah, well, there's,
let me just stop by saying that's an outstanding question.
Yes, it is. And it works into the theme of the show.
Mm-hmm. That's beautiful. What's this hostess's name, Robbie?
That was Dr. Lisa.
Well, Dr. Lisa, that's excellent, an excellent question. She understands that there's lots of chapels in Las Vegas.
Very good to tie into the wedding show.
Good question.
Probably within 50 feet of the, wedding chapel by the bay here at Mandalay Bay.
All right, now there's the first, for that little cranial cramp, that's the first indication that Rob has had a toddy.
Yeah.
Rob's had a cocktail.
And it's hot.
It's very hot.
Drinking in the hot.
There's a young couple getting married right now. Would you like to speak to the bride?
Sure.
Oh. Hold on. He's going to be on the air.
Hello, young couple. Welcome to What should be said is that when this call started, like a minute and a half ago, Mike wasn't there.
Right.
And then in the time that the call has started, Don has come out of the pool, and Mike has shown up at our site.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is when this happens, which is sort of fun.
So I was the bride, right?
Yes.
Yeah, you get on right now, and you're the bride.
PJFK's wedding show.
Hello? Oh, this is the wedding show.
No, who is that?
I'm sorry, what is your name?
My name is Geraldine.
Geraldine?
Congratulations.
Did you really just get married?
I just got married to the most wonderful man. Made my dreams come true in Las Vegas. Let me put you on the phone with him. His name is Charles, and he's a wonderful, wonderful man, and I'm the luckiest woman in the world.
Oh, dear.
Hello? How are you?
I am going to get Rob for this. Going to get him for this.
I'm a big fan.
Well, congratulations.
Would you send me something like a piece of cake?
Sure.
What's your name?
Well, oh, my goodness. This is Sharon.
Sharon, will you say I love you, Charlie?
I love you, Charlie.
I love you.
Goodbye. Okay.
It's so pretty. It's so put upon working with Rob on the radio every weekend.
Oh, my goodness. I cannot believe this. Who is this? Cameron, who is this?
My name is Charlie Stuang Stabilak.
They're all Rob.
Stuang Stabilak. Stuang Stabilak.
Rob.
Thank you very much.
You like to speak to Rob?
Please, Rob, on the phone. Dr. Lisa. The mental health expert.
Marcus, how are you?
Rob's psychotherapist would like to speak.
No, my name is Geraldine.
Okay, Geraldine, would you put Rob on the phone? His doctor needs to talk to him.
His doctor needs to talk to him. Is this the type of show where a girl can talk girlfriend to girlfriend?
Oh, my goodness. Yes.
Because I have issues with my husband, Charlie.
Okay, Rob's not taking his medication. I need to talk with him. Rob, are you near a pharmacy?
No. Oh, no.
Rob, your therapist needs to talk to you.
These girls, now, did they have any idea? They don't know what's happening.
We seem to be disrupting this show a little bit.
Well, they really, today Sharon said that she thought it was you, but according to Cameron, both of them were absolutely unaware.
All right, let's cut to the chase.
They're very big fans.
Here's the last part.
Is this going out all over WJFK?
Yes, it is,
oh,
Charlie.
Oh, my goodness.
Is that Cameron?
Yes, it is, Charlie.
Cameron, how are you?
Hey, Charlie, how are you, sir?
You're getting married, aren't you, Cameron?
Yes, as you just did.
Cameron's getting married.
Yes.
The program director's getting married. And he's hosting the wedding show.
Yes, I guess so.
And you're in Las Vegas. Isn't that fun? Here's Rob.
Thank you.
Now, of course, you know, that wasn't Geraldine and Charlie. That was the talented Danny Gans and Clint Holmes.
Oh, no.
I forgot that line. Rob is very, very big friends.
Wow, really? I am going to get you.
Yes, well, I guess then we'll be even. But I think it's from Sin City, and love and kisses, and Cameron, thanks for filling in. We'll see you all next week
on
the wedding show.
Have a
Thank
safe trip
you.
Back.
Bye.
Bye, then.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Wow.
Oh, my
Welcome to
goodness.
The wedding show. This is 106.7 WJFK's wedding.
So she thought that it was Danny Gans.
At least Dr. Lisa was convinced that, yes, I had hooked
Danny
him up
Gans.
With two fabulous Las Vegas performers. And I don't know if Sharon knew it was you or not, but they all know now. So
wow.
There you go.
Sorry about that. These machines are going nuts. Anyway, that's fun we had on the beach.
It was good fun.
Yeah.
That's good. And Rob, I just wrote random notes here as long as I'm talking to you.
Yeah.
You are dreamy, always in cargo pants.
I have to pack a little equipment sometimes when we go on these road trips,
sure.
And I don't have as much luggage room as you guys.
There's nothing quite like a sensible sport coat with cargo pants.
And I thought I looked very... that may be the fashion.
With nylon cargo pants.
And they're very roomy.
And no belt. It was like a nylon belt, right?
I believe the style is called Sansibel.
And a houndstooth jacket.
A little extra for giving room, yeah. And after a big weekend at the buffet lines, these are great pants, lots of pockets, and they'll get you right through security,
and
long as you don't have a paperweight.
And a real nice dress jacket that you had on with it yesterday.
Very nice, Rob.
I would have looked great from the waist up.
The weekend, of course, was based around us going to this fight, this HBO fight.
Yes, Winky and Sugar Shane Mosley.
Yeah, right. So Mike says
Winky Wright.
Right.
He's gotten us into the restaurant. It sounds like
sounds like something we shouldn't say. It's Oriole.
That's the name of it.
That's the name of the restaurant.
You know, we called it something else.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, Mike says, hard to get in this restaurant. I got us the reservation.
Yeah, they were real nice to do that for
Very
us.
Very shishy.
6:30, we're gonna hit the restaurant, then we're going to go to the fight. So we all meet. We all recharge for a little while. I actually went upstairs. It took a nap for a couple of hours.
As it turns out, I should have.
I'm sorry, what?
No, I was just going to say, and you took me gambling a little bit, too.
Thank you for reminding
just
me.
For a
Hold
minute.
On.
Yeah.
This is part of the best.
Just before dinner.
And you didn't, I don't know if you heard it or not, Mike.
I did hear this part of dinner.
Here's the great part. We say to Buzz, come on, you have to gamble with us. And Buzz says, I don't know. I don't know anything about it.
You're not a gambler, Buzz. You don't like it.
I don't even see the attraction of it. No,
I had a private conversation with Buzz, and part of it was, he said, it's the pressure that I feel when all these people are playing and it comes to me, I got to make the decision too fast. And I said, listen, I've seen people who are sitting at these tables, and the dealer explains the rules and says, you know, don't worry
about it. If he's a good dealer or she's a good dealer, they'll you know, shout out your number. And
they were patient. Yes, I noticed that.
So it was Rob and Buzz and me, and we got over by the table, and it was a $10 minimum. Now, I'm not being a show-off. I pulled out $200.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Rob pulled out $100. Buzz pulled out two fives.
At a $10 table.
$10 minimum.
Which is enough.
There's my minimum.
By one hand.
Right.
One hand of blackjack.
Uh-huh.
I'm
ready.
He puts down his two red chips.
Let's go.
And they start. The dealer starts dealing, and Buzz loses.
Gone.
And
so you're done.
At that point,
I would have liked to have been.
He's ready to walk away, but what I do is I take $10 of my chips, and I just slide them over. Come on up, Buzz. Get into this.
Just to have Buzz get in the spirit of the game.
Mm-hmm. Play the next hand.
Never has anyone looked more out of place. He looked really upset.
He looked very unhappy. We play the next hand. He loses the next hand. Then he goes into his wallet, grudgingly, goes back to his wallet. How much did you pull out then?
I think I ended up 30 of mine and 10 of yours that I lost there,
So he played a couple more hands.
Uh-huh. Right.
And here...
Did he win any hands?
No, and...
No.
That's
your introductory experience. I did slot machines. I lost those. I did roulette. I did three rounds of roulette. I lost that. The only jackpot I had all weekend was the accident out in my room.
Wow! But the highlight and Buzz.
Yeah.
I do have to rat you out on this.
Go ahead.
Can I about what you said when we were playing cards?
This is funny.
I
remember this story from dinner.
Okay, so. Robbie was sitting on one side of the blackjack table, and Buzz and I were sitting next to each other. And I'm saying to Buzz, just calm down, and as the cards come around, add them up in your head. If you got a question, ask the dealer.
Right.
Ask me, I'll give you a hand. And he plays another couple hands, and Buzz says to me, okay, I'm just having problems keeping up with the rules. He said, how much for a face card?
Yeah, I didn't know if the face cards had different values, and if so, what those values were. I don't know, I don't care.